I'll be reading from Luke 19. When he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." "I tell you," he replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out."
Good morning. Great to see you on this first day of spring. Prettier weather's coming. Flowers will be blooming. You've got sensitive flowers, bring them in tonight. Just a word to the wise. I don't know whether they still do the paper sales on Palm Sunday or not. I remember years ago when I was working in Centerville, I drove in on Sunday morning. I had to drive through Murfreesboro, Franklin, Fairview, and Centerville. And I got stopped in every one. You know, they're standing in the street selling the papers on Palm Sunday. And nobody's selling between Porterfield and Milton this morning. So I don't know. But I just remember going through all of those places at every place where there was a red light. There was someone there. But we're going to talk as Easter is upon us next Sunday and hope that you'll be back with us and invite family and friends to be with us. We certainly want to be here at every Sunday, but hope that you'll be back. I read a little joke, I guess, somewhere. I can't remember it. Guy was talking to his wife as they left out of church, and he had to reintroduce himself to the preacher. He said, "I'm never going back there." He said, "If that man can't remember us from Easter to Christmas, I ain't going back." So, maybe that was inappropriate, but there it went. But hope that we'll be back as every week we worship and commemorate God. And I do want us to take that serious because our assemblies are a great time of fellowship. They're a time of praise, and they're a time that we gather around the table and remember Jesus and the great sacrifice that he made for us and that the Father made on our behalf, and what a privilege it is to be part of the family of God. Really a privilege almost beyond comprehension that the Almighty God, our Creator, who made us in his image, has invited us not to be servants, not to be slaves, but to be children, to be heirs of his nature and of eternal life, and has prepared a place for us. And what a privilege to be a part of the family of God and the love that we share for each other because God first loved us. I want to talk this morning for a moment. Jesus is going to come into Jerusalem on the last week of his life, and Jesus knows. And that's what I find so interesting as we study the life of Jesus, and certainly these last few days, that Jesus knows what's coming. And we know the anguish that brought to him. And so all of Jesus' teachings certainly are from God, and they are perfect, and they're important. But certainly those things in that last week, you know, are the things of highest importance, because obviously we do those important things as we know time is getting short, not only from a lifetime perspective, but I went to, had a guy came and speak to us back when I was in sales about, do you know what the most productive day of the year is? Most productive, and he said, it's the day before you go on vacation because you're getting everything done to leave and you just focus on what has to be done. And all the other things you don't do, you just worry, I got to get this done and get ready to go. And his point was, that's really the focus we should have all of the time, is to do those things that are important. But Jesus certainly in this last week is teaching, instructing, encouraging, preparing his disciples, the apostles, for what is going to happen so that they won't be caught off guard and telling us those things from God that are of the utmost importance. But Jesus now is going to come in to the city of Jerusalem as the city prepares for Passover. And I did not realize until this last year, I guess I should have known, what that meant to the city of Jerusalem. We've had the state tournaments in Murfreesboro over the last couple weekends. And so if you have tried to go eat at Cracker Barrel or Demos or anything, you wonder, why is my wait longer than normal? Because Cracker Barrel is like Sunday dinner, because all these folks who have come in from out of town are eating. So actually, on Thursday, we got to go to the game and watch it faster than it took us to go to a Cracker Barrel and stand in line and wait for our meal, which I thought was a little long. But the reason I share that is Jerusalem swells to many, many times its normal population. Speculations to maybe hundreds of times its normal population. So, not really our lesson, but you know, try to find a room, a meeting room, a place to stay. I mean, people are staying everywhere. It's like Horse Show Week in Shelbyville. You can park in every yard there if you got a little money, right? I mean, the whole town. And so that's where Jerusalem is, because if you could at all, you are going to be in Jerusalem for Passover. If you're where you can travel at all, you're coming to Jerusalem for Passover. Because why? Let's talk about that for just a moment, because this is the backdrop in which Jesus comes to be crucified, to give his life. Why is Passover such a big event? Well, one, not only because it is expected of them to come, but Passover is the commemoration of the deliverance of Israel from Egypt. Okay? And let's talk about that for a moment, because we've studied that. Many of us, maybe most of us, are familiar with that. But Israel develops as a nation in Egypt, because there's just 70 of them that move to Egypt. And speculation that there are millions that come out 430 years later, because Joseph is second to Pharaoh in Egypt, and his family moves in a time of famine. And Joseph is respected, and Israel is respected. They live in the land of Goshen, which is down on the Nile River Delta, where land is fertile, and there's plenty of food, and things are good. But then, as you will remember the passage, the phrase, there arose a Pharaoh who knew not Joseph. They forgot why the Jews were there. And so instead of becoming the honored people, they become slaves. So they become captives, slaves in the land of Egypt. But what had God promised to Abraham? He had promised not only he would make him a great nation, that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed, but also that his descendants would receive a land inheritance. And so, when Moses is called by God to come onto the scene, the deliverance is from captivity, from slavery, from abuse, physical beatings, death of your children. I mean, a bad situation in Egypt. And they're delivered from that, and not only are they delivered from the struggles and problems of Egypt, but it begins them on their journey to the land of promise. It is their deliverance to go to this land that God had promised to Abraham. And as you remember, Pharaoh's heart is hardened by God. And plus, they didn't want to give up the slave labor. And so there are 9 plagues. And then there is the 10th plague, which is the death of the firstborn. Firstborn of the animals and the firstborn of the people, from the poorest all the way to the house of Pharaoh, the death of their firstborn. And you will remember that they were to be prepared on that night, have their sandals on and their coats on, prepared to travel and to kill the lamb without blemish, the Passover lamb. And they were to eat it all that night. And if you were not a large enough family, then you would join with another family to eat that. And if for some reason any of it were left, you were to burn it in the morning. And not only were they to eat this Passover lamb with the bitter herbs and the unleavened bread, but they were to take some of the blood of the lamb and paint it on the sides and the top of the doorpost of their houses. And they were to stay in their houses. Stay in your house. And when the destroyer comes through, God said, and he sees the blood on the doorpost, he'll pass over your house and you will be exempt from the death of the firstborn. It wasn't just because they were Jews. It was because they had the blood on the doorpost. And remember what blood has always represented. Always. Not just at Passover, but always, blood is life. Right? The life is in the blood. And so when we talk about shedding blood, we talk about taking life. And so Israel now had commemorated this Passover, remembering God's deliverance from Egypt and the deliverance from the death of the firstborn and God's power for Israel. And now here we are, years and years later, centuries later, preparing in Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover, God's deliverance. What more appropriate time for Jesus to be sacrificed than at the Passover? And all of the symbolism and all of the memories that it brings up, because in a few moments, we're going to gather around this table. And you remember, it is at the Passover, it is before Jesus is arrested, that Jesus institutes this supper with his disciples. It is in this same event that Jesus takes the bread and the wine and says, "This is my body and this is my blood. This is my life that I give for you." And so Jesus, on this Sunday prior to his resurrection, is going to come into Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover. And the question had been, is this great teacher coming? They've been looking for him. And the leaders have been looking for him to arrest him, to kill him. And the others have been looking, is he going to show up? Is he going to be here? Is he coming? And so Jesus comes in on that Sunday, riding on a colt, and which is a fulfillment of prophecy. And it's interesting, the apostles didn't realize that until after it's all over with. After his resurrection do they begin to see what all this symbolism means. But Jesus comes into Jerusalem where they have come to celebrate the Passover. And it's interesting to note, and for us to remember, that it is at the Temple Mount where the temple is now built, which is the third temple. The temple at the time of Jesus is the third temple, but it's on the Temple Mount where Solomon built the original temple. Okay? But it is on that mount that Abraham goes to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. Okay? Where the Temple Mount now stands is where Abraham had gone to offer Isaac. And you remember that God stops him from offering Isaac. And you remember that Abraham is willing to offer Isaac, and this is interesting, now thousands of years before, because he believes God would raise him from the dead. He's willing to offer his son. But do you remember what Abraham says when Isaac says, "We have the wood and the fire. Where is the animal for sacrifice?" And Abraham's answer to that question, "The Lord will provide." The Lord will provide. And so after he has stayed from offering Isaac. You remember there's a ram who was caught in the thorns, and he offers him. But now in this same place, the Lord is providing the lamb for sacrifice, which is his son, Jesus. It's at this same place that Jesus is going to be offered as the sacrificial lamb, the Passover lamb. And just as the blood of the lamb was put on the doorpost, it is the blood of Jesus, the life of Jesus that he freely gave, that has been shed that we might be cleansed and that we might be saved from the punishment of sin, which is death. And just as Christ was raised from the dead, which is coming next Sunday, we have the hope of resurrection. But it is the blood of Jesus. How do we come in contact with that blood of Jesus? They painted it over the doorpost. But in the waters of baptism, we are buried in symbolism as Christ was buried. And we're raised to walk in a newness of life. It is that baptism is the occasion where we come in contact with the blood of Jesus. It's where we come in contact with that blood that cleanses us, where we are clothed in the righteousness of Jesus, where we are cleansed, where that blood is on us, and so we are freed from the consequences of sin and death because we have been washed in the blood of Jesus. We have been cleansed. For those who believe and who repent and who are washed in Jesus' blood. And it is on this occasion that Jesus is coming into Jerusalem to give his life as a sacrifice, to become this Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. They remembered Passover each year, and we commemorate each week the death of Jesus, and we should remember it every day. Every day, because it is what gives our life meaning. It changes everything for us. But not only do they remember the Passover each year, but they continue. They have the offering of daily sacrifices. And we have the Day of Atonement, where we continue to offer sacrifice as a reminder of sin and its cost. Death is the consequence of sin. But now Jesus is coming, this Lamb of God, the perfect Lamb of God, that takes away the sin of the world. Jesus' sacrifice is different. Jesus' sacrifice is different. It's not just a reminder of sin, but it brings about forgiveness of sin. Jesus paid the price for sin. Remember, or for those of you who were in class, I know you remember. If you weren't in class with us, we'd encourage you to come be a part of our class as we're discussing salvation in the church for the next few weeks, and invite you to come at 9:15 and be a part of that, because we talked this morning about the forgiveness that comes through Jesus and through the blood of Jesus, and that Jesus, the Messiah, the Anointed One, had been put to death by those who were there. But Jesus died that we might have forgiveness of sin, that sin and its consequences would be forgiven, because all of us have sinned. All of us have missed the mark. We've all missed the target of living holy lives. And Jesus paid the price for our sin. He was without sin. He was perfect. Jesus never missed the mark. In everything he did, he hit the bullseye. But he was willing to go on the cross for sin, not his own, but he took on our sin. He became the Passover lamb who gave his blood that we might be cleansed and that we might be freed from the consequences of sin and death. I want to read again what Houston read, because what's happening now? Jesus is coming into Jerusalem, And the crowds have been looking for him. And they recognize now who he is, and they begin to lay down palm branches that they have gotten from the field. And some of them have taken their coats off and laid them on the ground for him to ride over. Okay? And they are praising him and acknowledging him, and there is an excitement about Jesus coming. Not a full understanding, maybe not much of an understanding at all. I don't think there's any understanding that he's the sacrificial lamb, but there is this understanding that at least he's a great teacher, and for many, here comes the one who's going to deliver us. Now, the anticipation for most of these individuals was not a deliverance from sin, which was much greater, but it was this deliverance from Rome. Not only from a foreign invader, but from a foreign pagan secular invader. And here's this Messiah, hopefully, that we've been looking for, who's going to deliver us. I've shared with you before many times, because I think about it often, about Peter and John going to the temple and the lame man looking just for money. And instead of giving him money, they heal him. They're looking just for a Messiah who would deliver them from the oppression of Rome, not realizing that Jesus is bringing them something much, 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 much greater than deliverance from Rome, but deliverance from sin and its consequences. And so Jesus is riding in on the colt, and the people are praising him. And let's read again. When he came near the place where the road goes down to the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples. They're blaspheming. Rebuke them," is their request. "This is inappropriate. This is inaccurate. You should stop this." And here's what I want to read. "I tell you," Jesus replied, "if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." My encouragement for all of us every day, and especially this week as we think about the greatness of the sacrifice of Jesus, that we share and that we shout something that's really should be impossible for us to contain. We should have such joy and excitement and appreciation that we can't contain the fact that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Not only is he the sacrifice, but he has been exalted, and that he is at the right hand of God, that he is our Redeemer and our King and our Lord, and that he's preparing a place for us, and that he's coming again, that where he is, we can be there as well, and others are welcome. And that must be our theme and our cry and our plea and our song. We shouldn't be able to contain ourselves with the joy of the thought that Jesus is Lord, King, and Redeemer. And that we shout it from the rooftops and from the streets. Now, I know you're not going to go out on the street and shout this week. And I'm really okay with that. But I hope your life shouts it this week. I hope the way you face life this week shouts that Jesus is Lord. The way you treat others, the way you face life, the way you do your job, the way you clean the house, the way you mow the yard, the way you treat your children, your parents, your spouse, your friends, your neighbors, that it shouts a peace and joy and excitement that Jesus is Lord. I don't know what struggles you're going to face this week. Most of us don't know. We'll just take them one at a time, right? But the reason I share that is there'll be some burdens. Some of them will just be nagging and aggravating. Some of them will be more serious. But the fact that you and I are redeemed by Jesus, that we can be cleansed in his blood, that we can know just as Israel knew the destroyer was coming, death was coming, and the blood on the doorpost saved them. Do you think there was excitement among them? You know there was. You know there was. To know that death was coming and that they weren't going to pay that price. To know that we have been washed in the blood of Jesus and that judgment is coming and that our sentence is not away from me, you who do work iniquity. But that as children of God, we anticipate, well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joys of your master. It should show in our lives and our faces. Because I don't know, there's not another problem or situation you're going to face this week that comes close to the thought of what life would be if Jesus were not Lord. And I want us to think about that. Because it's all about perspective, isn't it? It's all about perspective. And the fact that we are redeemed and look forward to God, the blessings of God that we enjoy each day and the eternal blessings He has for us, we shouldn't be able to contain it. Jesus said, I can't stop them because it is so important and it is so vivid and it's so now. The stones themselves would have to shout that Jesus is Lord. And as His children, we should shout it in our lives that Jesus is Lord and share it with all those who are around it. And our lives should be different because we know that Jesus is Lord and all is well. Jesus is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Our sin can be taken away so that we look forward to eternal life with Him. If you believe that and you need to come today, would you do so while we stand and sing?